Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, February the 9th. And welcome to our commentary. Just a quick note before we get into our topics. We'll be talking about more about President Biden's State of the Union address and those hearings in the House regarding Twitter and the New York Post and so on. But a couple of stories here that I saw not long ago before we began. The first one is that the Disney company is going to be laying off 7,000 people, and they're cutting back about $5 billion in operations. Now, where these people are going to come from, you know, what department, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be Florida or California. I don't know. I'm not sure. That kind of detail, I don't know. But when you cut back 7,000 people, that's a big cut. And when you're cutting back about $5 billion in operations, that's a pretty big cut. So something is going on at Disney. Now, of course, I think what most people think is happening is that Disney is really taking a hit from its customers. I saw something that they've lost a lot of people who are streaming their programs. You know, it's really not a shock, I think. I don't know this for a fact. My gut feeling is that, you know, Disney is a corporation. Disney is one of the great American success stories. You can go anywhere in the world and mention Disney and everybody knows who you're talking about. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, these are international superstars, if I could put it that way. And Disney was always associated with family programming. I remember Disney when I was let me say hello to my friend Eric in Utah. How are you doing? I remember Disney when I was growing up. It was, you know, great movies we used to watch. And then when my kids were growing up, the same thing. And somehow Disney here recently has gone maybe a little too woke. Maybe their programming has become a little bit too political. And a lot of the customers are saying, not for me. And they're cutting back the streaming. So this is a big economic news. 7,000 layoffs and $5 billion in operational costs. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of people. Those are signs of a company that is adjusting and making some changes. And exactly what happens next, I don't know. But if I was in that situation, I think I'd be looking at my programming and wondering if my programming is connecting with my customers, because the way they're losing customers, I don't think it is. So it's a big story. We'll probably hear more about this over the next few weeks. The other story, and I just saw this literally a few minutes before we began, and that is that there's apparently an agreement in place or being worked on with Mexico, where Mexico is going to be taking back a lot of non-Mexicans. Many of the people who are coming from a lot of different countries, you know, we have people from 150 countries who have come through the border here in the last couple of years. And apparently they've cut a deal with Mexico. Again, this is not official, but they've cut a deal with Mexico where they're going to be sending back people who are not Mexicans. So that could be a game changer, definitely, on the border. Now, what is Mexico getting for this? I don't know. That's something that we will learn about later. But maybe one thing they're going to get back is that they will get their country back, in the sense that here in Mexico over the last couple of years has become an avenue to come to the United States, and that cannot be good for Mexico. The cartels and everybody else who's been benefiting from this avenue to the United States. So that's another story that we'll keep our eyes on. Well, the two things that I wanted to talk to you about today are the hearings in the House, the Twitter hearings in the House, and President Biden's speech. President Biden's speech had very bad ratings. Very low ratings. 23 million people watched that speech. Now, you think about that for a minute. 23 million people would be a pretty good audience if you were talking about a postseason baseball game or basketball game or football game or whatever. But not for a State of the Union address when you've got every channel in the country showing you this. I mean, every network was carrying the speech. and yet only 23 million people watched it. And I've got a post coming out Friday morning and why I think this is happening. I think it's 100% because of the speech. 100% because this was a very divisive speech, a speech that did not connect, I think, with people. And as a consequence, people were just not excited to watch it. There was nothing about listening to Joe Biden that motivated anybody to say, hey, we're going to watch that speech tonight, despite the fact that the speech was being promoted for the whole day. I mean, the whole day, all you heard about in the cable news, in the social media was the speech and the speech, and yet a very small audience, 23 million people tuned in. How big is that audience? Well, it's the lowest audience in 30 years. When Trump was president, he would get between 35 and 40 million people to watch his State of the Union. I think his first one got 48 million, twice as many people as this one. So, you know, again, ratings are not the reason, obviously, for these speeches, but there's no question that this particular time with President Biden, that people were not excited to listen to what he had to say. And a lot of it, as I said in my, because I have a post today over at the American Thinker about the speech, where I argue that the speech was too political, that he was screaming too much, that he was criticizing too much. I mean, if you're going to sit there and you're going to say that the Republicans want to cut back Social Security or Medicare, well, that's going to create a reaction. Now, as I've said many, many times before, whether it's Democrat or Republican, I don't like these emotional outbursts or screaming. I just don't think that looks good for the country. But I can certainly understand the anger. I mean, if you're being accused that you're going to cut back on Social Security or Medicare when it's not true, you're going to be angry. You're going to be angry. And I think the president of the United States should have had more common sense than to say something like that to an audience of the State of the Union. I mean, it would have been so much better if he had adopted a totally different tone to his speech, a tone where he would at least try to speak in words that would unify the country instead of promoting the same, you know, big government solution for every problem. And I thought one of the worst moments of the speech was when he connected January the 6th with what happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband. I mean, the connection of those two things is beyond me. The speech also did not talk about crime in the cities. The speech did not talk about the balloon. He said, oh, we'll shoot it down. But this is a lot more complicated than saying we'll shoot it down. That balloon came into the United States and for quite a few days was sitting up there doing whatever it was doing, and nothing was done about it. So why didn't we take it out before it came in? Not a single discussion about that. Not much discussion, for example, with respect to Ukraine. Not much of a discussion with respect to China. Nothing at all that I remember about Latin America. And he certainly didn't talk about the border. He talked a little bit about fentanyl crossing across the border. But come on, why is it that we have so much fentanyl across the border? It's because we have an open border policy. That's why. So overall, I think it was for somebody like me, I did not see the speech live. I saw the rerun later because I was teaching a class at the time he was speaking. So I couldn't hear it, or I couldn't see it live. But when I got home, I watched the rerun, and I just thought the whole thing was a joke. I mean, I thought it was just an absolute waste of time. So I can understand why so many people didn't watch it. Also, his memory of the economy is really, really despicable. I mean, he talks as, you know, everything good began when he came in and everything bad happened before he came in. Well, that's simply untrue. And most people see that. Most people can see through that. Okay, we had COVID. We had shut down the American economy for the last 6 months of the Trump administration. When he came in, the economy was recovering or starting to recover. So of course you're going to create jobs because people were coming back to their old ones or coming back to any job. So I just think a lot of people saw through it, and many decided not to watch it, or many like me, I guess, are being critical of it, but just an absolutely waste of time. Now, The big interesting thing that I did catch a great deal of yesterday, and I saw many clips of this, was the Twitter executives before the House committee. And I thought some of the exchanges were absolutely great. And, you know, I kept watching this and I kept listening to these people saying, well, it was a mistake not to publish the New York Post and this and this and this and that. You know, I've said this before, but I'll repeat it. I think the problem with Twitter and many of these social media outfits is that they got caught up in Trump derangement syndrome. They just got too invested in their hatred of Trump and they lost their common sense. They lost their common sense. And as a consequence, they were doing things that just didn't make any sense, like New York, you know, canceling the New York Post or denying the American people an opportunity to see that article. What impact did that article have, or not publishing that article had, or not reporting, I should say, that article had on the elections? You never know. You will never be able to know. But it was a very close election, and we have seen polling data that shows that many Americans would have changed their vote. I mean, I can guarantee you that the second debate between Trump and Biden would have been totally different, because Biden was able to survive in that debate by, you know, falling back on this thing that there was a letter signed by 50 experts and so on. He was able to rely on that to get away with not having to debate the laptop. But he couldn't do that today, of course. And lots of Americans are now looking at these interviews with Twitter and they're saying, wait a minute, who gave you so much power? I mean, how did it occur to you that you were going to do this or that? So I think they all got invested, as I said, in Trump derangement syndrome, and then they just couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it, and that's where we are today. I don't know if what they did was illegal technically, because it is a private company. But I do hope that as a consequence of all of this, that we do have some reforms on these companies. We can begin by taking away their Section 230 protection and treating them differently. You know, these companies have misused the Section 230 protection, and they've allowed, they're basically, the whole idea of Twitter, I remember when Twitter came out, and I thought it was a great idea that Twitter would exist. The whole idea of Twitter is that you and I get to post. Okay, I post what I think, you post what you think. And if you don't like what I post or I don't like what you post, I can always tell you I don't like it or I disagree. And, if it gets a little too complicated, I can delete you and you can delete me. And that's it. But we both get to say whatever we want to say. And I just think that Twitter got away from that. Twitter got away from that idea, and it became too much of a political organization driven by a hysterical obsession with defeating President Trump. And that's what got him in trouble in the end. So hopefully we can make some corrections to Section 230 and put these companies in a different legal standing so that they're not protected by Section 230. Well, let me leave you today with a quick birthday greeting. Happy number 82 to Carole King, one of the great songwriters as well as performers of the last 50 years. Carole King began her career back in the 1960s with her husband, Jerry Goffin. And they were a great songwriting duo, wrote a bunch of songs. There'd be too many for me to tell you. Will You Love Me Tomorrow? Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? I mean, a bunch of songs that were very popular in the 1960s. And then in the 1970s and 1980s, she went on her own and recorded several albums as Carole King. The most famous one, of course, Tapestry, one of the best albums in pop history. So Carole King, who was born in New York City on this day in 1941. So we say happy birthday to Carole King. And my gosh, I hope she's doing well. I haven't seen her in a long time, but I hope she's doing well. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody. This is...